Good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day it is to be with you guys. Thankful that a lot of the storms had passed over without an extreme amount of damage from yesterday. The Lord's protection. And I know it got hairy for a couple of people in a couple of areas in the surrounding counties, and even in Grayson County and Brett County, there was a lot of warnings and a lot of oddly shaped clouds and some funnel clouds. And so we're just thankful for God's protection. And I'm praying for those who were affected by the storms yesterday. Our prayers are with you. Our thoughts are with you. And we're just believing God to intervene and all repairs and everything be done quickly and efficiently and favorably. So, again, thankful that for the protection of the Lord over the storms yesterday. And just believing in God again for your all's, for those who were affected, that everything will go smoothly and that the repairs be made. And just praise Jesus for everything he's doing. Amen. We've got some announcements going on here. If your kiddos want to go over to VBS, Kingdom First is still right in the middle of theirs. They go till the 12th. And I know they'd love to have you guys. And my kids went the first night and loved it. They didn't go yesterday, but they're going to go back tonight. So they're excited for that. But that is at Kingdom First right there in the middle of Caneyville, Kentucky. Starts at 6 o'clock p.m. Moving through all the way to 8 o'clock p.m. And again, that's going through I think it's going through Friday night, the 12th. And then ours is the July 23rd. You can pre-register your kids there online on the app. And so that helps us prepare for food and make sure we have all the resources and everything there for all the kiddos. Last year, we hit about 125 kids, and so that's such a tremendous blessing, and we're hoping just to get that many again this year, and ready to feed them and hang out with them, but more importantly than anything, teach them about who Jesus is and provide an atmosphere for them to encounter the Lord in a real way. I believe we had about 10 to 12 last year that came forward to profess Christ as Savior. So praise the Lord for that. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning?
Good.
I'm doing terrific with my Lucky Charm cereal bar. Marshmallow treat bar.
I've actually been loving cereal lately.
Yeah.
And normally me and Ethan eat like the healthy cereals.
Yeah.
And I like them.
His cereal's boring.
I still like the healthy cereal, but I've been craving so Meals on the Bus. My mm-hmm. siblings had some little cereal things from that, and they had some tricks, and man, it was so good.
Yeah.
So then I got me some of that Captain Crunch with the berries in it.
Uh-huh.
It's just,
yeah,
it's
now
good.
You're getting us a real cereal. I don't know what Ethan eats. Is that Raisin Bran and Wheaties and all this? And I'm like, you can take your healthy cereal, but I'm taking the Lucky Charms.
Now, he did spice it up a little bit. He got Special K with yogurt pieces in it, so it's sweeter.
He's feisty. All right. He's branching out. But, oh, gosh. What's your all's favorite? Text me in. I'm ready for text. I want to do it early this morning. 270-230-6337. What is your favorite cereal? See, my favorite cereal for me used to be Fruity Pebbles, but it has changed to Captain Crunch. But I'll eat the Captain Crunch with berries.
So you eat the Captain Crunch with no berries?
That's my favorite. But I will eat Captain Crunch with berries. It's a suffering, and it's hard, but I will do it because somebody has to. But, I used to love Fruity Pebbles. But it seems like over the last couple of years, it's changed. Just like the most important thing, most disappointing thing was the Butterfinger. It's changed, too. Used to be so good, and they've had to change the recipe because it tastes different now.
That's weird.
Yeah, and so it is great disappointment. One listener said Fruity Pebbles. All right, I got you. Fruity Pebbles. Miss Elizabeth says Cheerios. I like Honey Nut Cheerios because on the Honey Nut Cheerio box, it tells me heart healthy. So when I eat that, I feel like it feels like almost I'm eating a salad. Like, it feels really healthy.
I do actually like plain Cheerios. There's just something about it.
Miss Sierra says Captain Crunch or Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we've got Cinnamon Toast Crunch minis right now on the shelf. It's not bad. It's really small, and you get more flavor in your mouth, I guess. I don't know, but
It's good stuff.
Now, one I like it. Now it's not. It's not like healthy like Ethan's. Like, the guy eats a Raisin Bran and eats licorice all the time. All right, but one of the cereals I do love is Pops. I love Pops, even though I don't have much flavor. I don't know why. I just love Pops and the honey.
Pops is kind of like Kix, I think.
Yeah. What's that one that looks like a spider web?
Oh, the Honeycombs?
Yeah, I like that one too. And Smacks. I like Smacks, or whatever it's called, Snacks.
I don't know what that cereal
is. I think it's
is,
called but... Honey Smacks or something like that. That's pretty good too. If you want to share your favorite cereal, you just text on in. Now,
I don't know why though. Like, it's been sounding good at night. Like, I haven't ate it in the morning. It's just at nighttime. I don't know.
Oh, now it's getting dangerous.
So, I don't know. But I've always liked it like that. Like, I've never really ate cereal a whole lot in the morning. I always ate it at night.
Let's see here. Miss Judy says Raisin Bran Crunch. At least she's got the crunch in there. Captain Crunch Berries. You're with Hannah on that one.
Who said that?
Miss Judy. And then Honey Nut Cheerios. I love Honey Nut Cheerios.
Honey Nut Cheerios are good.
Oh, Josh Milburn's throwing a curveball in here. Honey Nut Chex. Have you ever? Whoa. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever had that, Josh.
I have had Chex cereal, but I don't think I've had Honey Nut.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I eat Chex cereal in Chex Mix all the time.
What about honey? Nobody has said honey bunches of oats.
Honey nut. Well, there's probably a reason. Josh says I need to try it. I might. Honey nut Chex Mix. Man, I think I might need to do that. Well, yeah, I do like cereal. And it's a wonderful late night snack.
It really is.
The other day, I got a bowl of Pops. It was Sunday night, maybe, and I went to sit on the chair, the love seat, and I was just going to enjoy looking out my window.
Now that you have a window to look.
Yeah, I was enjoying looking out the window, just eating my Pops, and I feel this little creature snuggling beside me under the chair, and it was Ivy, and she basically took over my spoon, stole my whole bowl of cereal. I still had the window, but yeah, she took my whole Pops, pretty much. She ate pretty much my whole bowl of cereal.
This is what you need to start, like, sitting far away. So Ethan, he doesn't want to get the same food that I have. He just wants to eat off of my plate or whatever. So I cut up an apple, and I did not want to share it yesterday. So I scooted all the way to the end of the other side of the living room so he wouldn't. And then he's like, why are you sitting over there? And I'm like, because I don't want to share this.
I don't want to share my apple. You'll eat
I
it.
I asked him if he wanted me to cut him one up, and he said no. He always says no, but then he wants to eat off my plate.
Now we teach our kids sharing is caring.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Brother Greg Carwell said Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It's a popular one.
Yeah, Cinnamon Toast Crunch is. You know, one I'm actually shocked that nobody's mentioned is Reese Puffs.
I think of the little theme song every time.
I mean, I'm real shocked about it.
Reese Puffs, the commercial.
Like, I lived off of Reese Puffs in college. It's one of those things, it tastes different now.
Yeah. I feel like some like that have like a more well-known flavor or whatever kind of have a weird taste.
Yeah. I used to love Reese Puffs, but it's...
Like, it doesn't taste like actual Reese's, you know?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't now. Just like Butterfingers don't taste like real Butterfingers no more. And if Butterfingers, if the person who owns Butterfingers listening this morning, you really need to repent and bring back the original Butterfingers. Because I know it has to be different. I've heard other people on the internet say it too. It tastes different now.
I bet Jason would know.
Jason would know the DNA makeup of the Butterfingers. He would know the texture.
Let's save this one for Monday.
Him and Greg could probably diagnose it. I could see them in white coats sitting in a room with some chemistry glasses over it, dissecting the Butterfinger bar and giving me the textural consistency of it, just like they did with Reese Puffs or Reese Cups compared to Reese Eggs. Yeah, they got really scientific with that. I just go by taste buds. All right, let's go to James. James chapter 2, we are going to leave what we we're leaving the works. We've done talked about the prostitute, and verse 26 is, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So we pretty much got that. Now we'll get into the good one: controlling or taming the tongue. Greg Carwell says, give us a lab and see what happens.
Hey, can I throw in a plug here?
Sure.
So speaking of this, at Faith Redeemed Church of God, I believe that's where she'll be, because that's where she normally will teach on a Wednesday. But Sarah Bailey, she's speaking on this, and I think it's going to be really good. She's been preparing a teaching on the
cereal
maker. The power of the tongue and the, yeah, what we're talking about here in James. So I'll have to text her to confirm if it's, I'm pretty sure it's at Faith Redeemed, because she has taught there a few times on a Wednesday. So it sounds like it's going to be really good. She came to prayer, and Kaylee Stone was talking about how, you know, unknowingly she'll speak stuff over herself and like deny things that the Lord is doing, or things that she knows to be true, but she'll kind of just play it off with her, mm-hmm. with her words. So she was like, you know what? I need to go to that. Hannah, you want to go with me? I was like, yeah. So
I thought you were talking about she's going to teach on the consistency of Butterfingers.
The makeup of cereal.
Something to that regard. That would be interesting. I don't know how you tie that into Christianity. But
she is really smart, so I feel like she could do that. But no, she's talking on the power of the tongue. So.
All right, well, here we are. chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brethren, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Now, that has always been a peculiar scripture to me, because it's a weighty one, and I do think there's a lot there. But because I think he's telling people there, like, hey, you should probably be a little bit slow to want to be a teacher, because your accountability and your strictness is going to be greater. And I've always tried to unpack that a little bit. Like, he doesn't actually say you should be slow to want to be a leader. He says a teacher. Mm-hmm. And even Paul differentiates in some parts of, like, we have many teachers, not many fathers. And so, like, he's almost differentiating between just being a leader and being a teacher. And I think one of the reasons here James is saying you should be really cautious to be a teacher is because a teacher, you have to have a lot of knowledge, and you have to have it. And if you have all this extensive knowledge, you have no excuse not to live by that knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a point that we will be judged by what we know. And we'll be judged by the word that we know. And we'll be judged. Like, that doesn't mean you get off the hook if, like, Romans covers if you live on a remote island in chapter 1, talking about creation itself testifies of the Savior. And so if you live on a remote island and no one ever shares the gospel with you, you are still going to be judged. All right, but it's judged appropriately, but you are still held accountable because even creation itself testifies. Now, what they do with that, they'll be judged with that, how they respond to that. That's what Romans kind of discuss. So we're not talking about so much salvaic. I'm talking about, like, rewards, non-rewards, judgment, and other things. Like, if we're ignorant of things and we're doing stuff out of ignorance, that's a lot different than doing stuff out of deliberacy or nonchalantness or apathy or anything like that. And I think this is what James is almost alluding to here. Like, if you're going to be a teacher, you're going to have a lot of knowledge, and you're really going to have to know the word, and you have no excuse, and you will be judged. For one, you put yourself in a position of authority, and you're strict. That creates more of a strictness already. Mm-hmm. Because, like, leaders are judged differently than other people. Mm-hmm. That's a natural recourse of the position. There's a really popular preacher right now that a lot has come out about, and there's a lot of judgment going out for him. But he's done the same thing as other people have, but his is greater because he was such a leader. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so I think this is kind of what James is saying there. You have knowledge, you have no excuse, and you've put yourself in that position of authority. And to me, that, let's see, one listener said, I interpret it as the teacher would be judged if you teach people wrong. I don't know. Like, let's see here. I mean, I definitely think we will be judged for that. Contextually, do y'all think that would be how this one?
I'm looking up Anita Strong's actually.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see that.
I see it as more like they're just going to be judged harsher.
Yeah,
or more
I mean, I think that would be included in here.
Yeah, because yeah. Without a doubt, it's definitely going to be
included,
that.
But I don't think it's only that.
Like, I'm like, I'll be held responsible and accountable if the congregation I teach every Sunday I'm teaching wrong.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, without a doubt. But I think this one may be just saying, like, don't be desirous to be teachers. Don't, mm-hmm. like, you know, be slow to do that. Be very
There's
cautious.
A higher standard there. So that would be a big part of it. But I think even the way you live your life and the way you're leading people, yeah. like, outside of mm-hmm. when you're teaching. Because sometimes that can be a greater teaching of when you're, like, you yeah. know, doing life with somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, when you're teaching, you're affecting not just one or two. Most of the time, like Aaron said, you're teaching many,
mm-hmm.
and you're changing a whole a group of people and their mindsets, and like certain ones that people look up to, you know, and that they are influenced by. If they teach them something bad, they are. It's almost kind of like. Will the blood be on their hands because they taught something that was heretical or not, you know, foundational. And I think that's why I get it.
Yeah. And I guess that's probably why sometimes I feel like I'm almost annoying to a point sometimes, like with the distinctions and distinctives, but I have found over the last 18 years how important words are.
Mm-hmm.
And I have bit myself several times There was one time, like, I use this story, and it's a very light story. There's other times I probably made bigger messes, but there was one time I was preaching, and I accidentally said John and not Peter. And I had, like, six people catch me after service to tell me, you was talking about John, not Peter. Or I said Peter or something like that. It was yeah. like, I got them backwards. And it was an accident. You're just preaching, and mind goes blank, and you're there. But, I mean, people caught it. And that has little eternal effect.
Yeah.
But... it's still like it's there and people's hearing it and you are confusing people. And so you just have to be very intentional. and so I do agree 100% that preachers and leaders are going to be held very much accountable mm-hmm. for how they lead, what they say. And the listeners agreeing with all that. And I think it even goes like even some of these mega churches that we're very critical of at times. And I'm not against mega church. I'm against mega churches that are not preaching the truth and just trying to woo crowds in and stuff.
Have you seen there's like a video that's going around, like a meme or whatever, and it says mega churches, and then it says they preach the Bible for 30 seconds. And after that 30 seconds is over, like, they start doing these crazy flips in the air. Like, it looks like they're just flying in the air. Like, I don't know how they're doing it, but they're just doing all these
doing
acrobatics
that.
And stuff. And I'm like, what? I mean, it's sad, but it's true
it
in
is.
Some cases. I don't think it's true in every mega church. I mean, there's some mega churches that are preaching the word and
yeah.
doing the right thing. But
yeah.
But I mean, even those, like, even if they're not even if there's a church that's not a real church, if people's going there and thinking they're going to be learning the Bible and living what we would call the way, because I'm starting to call it that more. I don't know why. Like it's becoming more in my vocabulary because in the Bible even talks about that. Like I'm going to teach you the way, and people thinks they're learning the way, but you're a leader who's leading them in opposition of the way. I don't think you get an exempt card. And the Bible talks about where Paul said if even an angel preaches another gospel, it'll be accursed.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a lot of accursed people like for leading people astray with what they're saying. So verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If let me read verse 4, 3, and we'll talk. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. So James is saying, like, now I don't want to misinterpret this text and say, we all stumble, get over it, you can't help it, just stumble every day. I think he's saying, look, we all are growing.
Mm-hmm.
We all have these days where we strike out.
Yeah.
Anybody that tells you that they never have a bad day or they never swing and miss, they may not be completely true. That doesn't mean we have to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a big difference. Like, I've heard some preachers kind of say, like, you don't have a choice. You've got to sin. You're going to sin.
Yeah.
So just, it's no big deal. Just ask for forgiveness. And I don't think that's appropriate. And I don't think we wake up in the morning and say, well, I'm going to sin today. So which sin do I want to commit? Because God's going to forgive me anyways. But I do think he's telling us, like, you know, if we ever get to the point where we do control our tongue,
yeah,
then we're a perfect man. We're whole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I don't... There was a guy, you was talking about a meme, Hannah. There was a short video I watched on Facebook the other day. It was like one of those reels, or is that what they're called, a reel?
I guess so, yeah.
I'm not very hip, so I don't know all this social media lingo. And it was this guy who was going to go play golf. My algorithm's pretty much full of a lot of golf videos. And it was something like he gets there, and all these bad things are happening. Like, his tee time's canceled or his car breaks down. And every time he's just like, oh, that's great. That gives me more time to practice. Or, oh, I got to play with this guy. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a guy that nobody else want to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he always has this perfect response. And he's so patient. And like, his car breaks down and be like, great, I wanted to talk to the mechanic anyways. Like, that was like, the video is almost annoying. A little bit. And unrealistic, because none of us are going to respond like that to everything that bad in life happens. But I do think until we can get to the point to where we do control our tongue like that.
Oh, yeah.
There is not a wholeness. And we want to say the wholeness comes whenever we stop looking at pornography, or we're not smoking or doing that, or we're not drinking that. Like, that's wholeness. We're whole now because we're not doing these great sins or lust of the flesh. We're not doing witchcraft no more, so we're whole. Like, but I don't think we're sitting here looking at what James is really saying. James is basically saying, like, if you don't know how to control your tongue, you're not whole.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And the tongue is the hardest thing, because
the tongue, yeah.
I don't know about you all, but I get emotional still. And when you're emotional, you say stuff you don't mean.
Well, I know Brother Rick, when he was talking about that cabinet...
I loved that.
I want to be to that place where I will say hallelujah.
Now, I will say, one of my pastor when I was young, he said one morning, he said, you know your sanctification if you shut your finger in a car door. And I was like, I was young and immature and zeal without any knowledge, I mean wisdom at all. I just thought I was going to tackle hell with a squirt gun by myself. And I was
you
like,
shut your own finger?
I said, I would shout hallelujah, yeah. And then, like, 2 days later, my finger got shut in the door. Now, I had to pause because, again, I'm 18, and I had only been born again for a little while, and my mouth was not exactly holy before salvation. And so, and it wasn't holy always after for the first part. Like, it was a growing. Now, I mean, like, it's something I don't struggle with now. Like, I really don't struggle with it now. I have other things that, you know, the Lord's working on me still. He's still working on me. But I remember I stopped, and I saw my finger crushing the door, and I said, hallelujah.
With clenched.
It may have sounded like I needed deliverance
clenched
in the midst of
it. You were growling.
But I was going to get it out.
The other day that I like tripped down the stairs or stumped my toe. I don't know what it was, but it hurt really bad coming out of the door. And I just wasn't raised, like, I was raised to be scared of saying any bad words.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's not really ever been a struggle for me, but but I've never praised the Lord when it happens. I'm like, oh, gosh, like, I get so mad. And I don't really say anything, but I just make a loud noise or something. But and it was before Brother Rick even talked about that on Sunday. But I was like, God, you're still good. You're still good.
Yeah. I want to get it where I do that and be like, holy is the Lord.
I'm like, my toe really hurts, God, but you're still good. You're on the throne. But true. That's probably the first time I've ever done that, honestly, because all the other times I'm just mad.
There was some shorts out in the YouTube shorts I seen. A guy, he was talking about when Christians get hurt, you got to remind yourself when you're still a Christian. And he's over and he was making music out of it. So he'd step on, he says, oh, Jesus. He was singing like hymns and stuff.
That's something I would do. That's good. I'll have to try that.
Start singing some music behind your pain.
And I do think out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So there's a lot of times that our mouth reveals our heart so often.
Yeah, yeah.
And in those times of raw emotion, it probably exposes it more than ever. Because a lot of times we try to have this filter.
Yeah.
But whenever it's raw emotion, I think it exposes a lot of our heart.
And it feels like when you know that you've just said something that you shouldn't have said that's like harmful to somebody, mm-hmm. or even harmful just to yourself or whatever, it's like it feels so bad after. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, why did I say it? Why did I let that come out?
Yeah.
Because you know that you can tell when a word hurts someone, or it's just maybe it doesn't actually hurt them, but it was intended to hurt them, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even like, you know, and I think there is a discernment of the spirit. I don't know what discernment is.
New word.
Discernment of the spirit too, using our mouth. Like he will try that. I think this is one of the reasons James is eventually going to tell us, you know, be slow to speak, quick to listen, mm-hmm. and slow to wrath. But here too, like there was a situation a few months ago, I was on the phone with somebody and it was a really good conversation. Nobody was upset or mad or anything like that. We was actually talking about a situation where the Lord was moving. And they were talking about a project they were going to be doing. And I just kind of opened my mouth and said, I really do. Like, they were so excited. And I said, I think you can do it cheaper. Like, and I was like, I'm not trying to be mean, but I think this other person's kind of like taking advantage of you a little bit. And I think you could do it cheaper. And it was like the guy's excitement just deflated. And it was like the Holy Spirit almost arrested me and I felt conviction because I felt like I just opened my mouth. And I think if anything, if I could work on my mouth, I think what I would like to say is I would love to learn to talk by the Spirit and not from the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even in average conversation, and I don't think that means we never joke around or laugh.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm talking like where we really do have that Holy Ghost filter that's like, because mm-hmm. anything I said was not bad. Like, it was not a bad statement. It was a true statement. Like, I really do think they could get it done for half price what they were going to do it. Yeah. And it was a very true statement. But I think it was a statement not appropriate to the timing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we've said before in the prophetic, the right word in the wrong season still probably makes it the wrong word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I was thinking about the prophetic too, because not necessarily when you're trying to give a prophetic word, but when you're trying to like give, I don't know, wisdom or guidance, I think sometimes it's so hard to not give your own opinion, like mm-hmm. in people's lives and like their decisions and stuff. And I think that's one of the main things sometimes that's something that I really want to be able to speak and be led by the Spirit, my words, because it can be really harmful to people. Mm-hmm. Or really, like, words stick with people, especially when they're really seeking out guidance. Yeah. They're seeking out, like, they don't know what to do in this situation. Maybe they do know what to do, but they're just kind of looking for reassurance or something. But, you know, like, I don't want to just tell people my own opinion mm-hmm. or what I want, because there was even a situation, you know, recently of, like, something that somebody felt like that they need to do. I don't really want them to do this because, you know, it would mean I wouldn't see them as much. And I love this person. And I think whenever we love people, and even example, like people leaving our church, that's one. Like sometimes we want to be like, oh, well, I think the Lord would want you to, like, we would, or even if we don't say the Lord, but like, I think the most wise thing, like sometimes when we speak things, it's because of what we want. And mm-hmm. it's not because of what we actually believe the Lord's saying.
Yeah. And that's where discernment comes in at, because...
And we have to check our heart sometimes and be like, okay, what is Hannah wanting what is true here?
And I'm 95% sure that I'm probably thinking of the same thing you're talking about right now. And like, in that too, like it's not about what we want or don't want. It's being able to discern what the Spirit of God is saying.
Exactly.
And I don't know. I mean, controlling the tongue is probably, I mean, it's just unfathomably difficult. And I know we're going to go to break, but like you're talking, not, I mean, we talk and joke about the cuss word and the cabinet and all that. I mean, those are real. I mean, it's a real deal. Yeah. I mean, like, but also gossiping, slandering, you know, the Bible commissions us
spreading discord
to not spread discord, and also, but also encourage and edify each other. Him who has been overtaken by a trespasser, him who has fallen victim to sin, him who is spiritual, restore such a one with the spirit of gentleness. How am I gentle with my speech? You know, I'm not gentle with my speech. And I understand that. And how do I get better at that? And so this is where grace comes into play at. This is where surrendering to the Holy Spirit, to walking in the Holy Spirit, talking in the Holy Spirit, I guess. I don't know how you say it. I mean, like,
I think this is where the slow to speak and quick to listen comes in.
Yeah. Well, and there's nothing slow about my speech. I get told that all the time.
I got something to say about this, but I know we need to go to break, so I'm going to wait till, if that's okay. After the break.
Yeah. All right, let's go to break, and then we'll come back here. Jacob can say what he wants to say by the Spirit, and and we'll get into Hannah's Kingdom Corner.
Is that a new rule here on Box 2?
Yeah. Let's talk by the Spirit. Wednesday question number one is Tuesday questions number two, because nobody answered it. What kind of animal did Samson kill with his bare hands? What kind of animal did Samson kill? Oh, my gosh, that's two words. Kill with his bare hands. We'll be right back here after the break. God, we have an answer for that trivia question. Josh Newton got that correct. Lion. I had about three or four other people. Brandon Gooster got it right, but he texts in. He's not allowed to. He's trying to break the rules. trying to break the rules. I caught him. And then Miss Judy had called in, and Brother Phil had called in. So I had a couple of answers, but Josh Newton got in there first. So congratulations. Josh gets his name in the drawing for this two-week period. And, you know, I'm getting the hang of this DJ thing, all right? I'm getting there. I've been doing that 11 o'clock hour, and we get in there, and I get to talk.
Did somebody request that one, or you pick it?
No, I just picked it. I'm enjoying this. I'm somebody who don't listen to a lot of music. I'm having to listen to a lot of music so that I can make sure I'm picking the right kind of music. And so if you're listening at 11 o'clock hour, I know Pastor Josh is. Me and Pastor Josh was texting a lot during that. But if you listened yesterday at 11 o'clock hour, I'd love to know what you thought of the music. And we're trying to work on our music overall on the station, and looking for spots to put more of this tight, targeted music in there and stuff. Hannah sneezed, and I don't know what else she did. It was by the Spirit. That's all I know. And so...
It was too quick to even push a sneeze button.
Yeah, I don't even have a sneeze button. So, all right, Jacob, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, me and Joe were talking about this morning. He called me early. We was talking, and I was telling him, I said, you know, if we would just walk in the Spirit, I said, you ever just know that the opinions of man, sometimes, like, everybody's got a different opinion. Everybody's got a different view. Everybody's got this. But when a Spirit comes on, everybody starts coming to agreement. And I said, there's power in that, because if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So a lot of the times, not saying that you're doing something bad all the time, but I feel like if we'll just allow the Holy Spirit to just come up on us and just get cloud out everything else out of our minds and just Holy Spirit speak, I think we'll start all coming into agreement. And that brings us into unity. And I think that's a lot of times we're left with the opinions of man so much. I'm not saying that they're wrong, but if it's almost kind of like if we'll just let, you know, you ever been in service sometimes and all of a sudden everybody, the Spirit comes in and everybody's, oh, you know, like, this is why we're going to be in heaven. And I think, like we said, if we'll just be slow to speak, and that's hard for me. But God does teach me that. And I think when we allow the Holy Spirit to come and just rest on us, and I know He lives in us, but just allow that to come out of us, you know, just Lord just speak all of us together in one mind. And I think that's what happened in the upper room. They all came in, you know, into in one accord and prayed, and the Spirit led them, you know. And that's when they became powerful, because it said they received power. And I was like, that's when the church will be in a place when we all crucify the flesh and quit trying to tell us. Because sometimes even if we're, even like Aaron says, you could speak the right thing in the wrong season. You can be right. And a lot of times I feel like people want to be right all the time. And I said, well, the Holy Spirit's right. even if you're right, the Holy Spirit's right. More right than you. So he may speak something in a season that you may speak out of season. So mm-hmm. you got to be careful that you're not speaking out of season, because God may do something different at this season.
Yeah.
So we need to lean upon him. So
that's what I was going to say, is our own opinions, it could be true and right, but have emotions and intentions mixed yeah. in there. But the Holy Spirit is always complete truth and complete yeah. righteousness. Like, no deceitfulness, nothing that's not pure.
Yeah.
Completely pure, completely truth.
True. Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, Annie, you ready for Kingdom Corner?
Yes.
I'm going to finish my Lucky Charm cereal bar. Been trying to eat it since 7. Try to sneak a bite in while y'all are talking, and then y'all stop talking, look at me, and I still have a mouthful. And this never works well.
We got to start paying attention to that.
Just watch my mouth.
You're getting all your different colors and everything in that.
I got Mountain Dew and Lucky Charms treats. It's definitely a very, very nutritious. Jacob's drinking water, and I'm drinking Mountain Dew and eating Lucky Charms. And I don't know what Hannah's got in there.
Water.
You healthy people. That's why there's glass between us. I don't want y'all to rub off on me.
But I also have a honey bun in here, so.
Well,
I don't know if
Lisa's not my Swiss rose. Lisa's not my Swiss. I'm hiding my Lucky Charms from her. All right.
It's okay. I don't like Lucky Charms.
Good. That's what I'll keep bringing in here.
Yeah, marshmallow stuff.
I didn't like a Swiss roll either, but that didn't help me. I still ate it. Okay. I was so hungry that day.
As long as that's tasty, Kate.
We'll have to explain that story one day on the radio, because people are really like, why do they keep talking about Swiss roll?
I'm still trying to get
emotional. What did this lady do?
I'm still trying to get emotional healing from it. The Lord's still working on it.
It's actually a really funny story, but okay, we'll get into Kingdom Corner. So Psalm 109, verses 1-4. Be not silent, O God of my praise, for wicked and deceitful mouths are opened against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. They encircle me with words of hate and attack me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer. I'm going to go back also to Psalm 108, verses 11-13. But first, I'm going to talk about this 109. So, I just thought, I came across this psalm, and I was just thinking about how powerful that is of, you know, this is David speaking here. And he was talking about, you know, and we know that David, yes, he made a lot of mistakes throughout his life. But he's talking about, you know, he's giving his love. Like, he's doing the right thing. He is loving people. He's giving his all. And in return, there's one speaking against him, slandering him, lying about him. Basically, completely doing the opposite to him of what he's doing to them. And I think that this is really, I just love the, when he ends this little section with saying, in return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer. Mm. I just think that is so powerful. He's saying that, you know, he's giving them love, and they're turning to accusations. Mm. They're turning to slandering. They're turning to the works of the flesh that the Lord hates
yeah.
in Proverbs. Basically is what they're doing. But he's saying that instead of dishing back out what they're giving to him, he is giving himself to prayer. So while they're going to give themselves to the flesh, he's going to give himself to the Spirit. He's going to give himself to prayer. And I just think that this is really, really important, an important principle in the kingdom.
Uh-huh.
as we're talking about the Kingdom Corner, because this happens to us. There's things that happen where, and especially in churches, especially in communities, where there's gossip, there's slander, there's betrayal, there's backbiting, there's, you know, your friend at one moment can turn into your enemy another moment. And sometimes it's both parties, you know, at fault, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes as a child of God, you're doing everything that you know to do. You're operating with pure intentions. You're loving people. And in return, you're going to get the slander. You're going to get the lies. You're going to get all of these things. But I think that we have seen that so much in churches, whether small or big scale. But the most important thing is when these things happen, it's so tempting to want to lash back out. Or even if we don't lash back out to the people doing these things to us, it's so tempting to want to hold resentment inside.
Yeah.
To hold things inside or have these feelings towards the people that are doing this to us, or even talk about it to the people we're close to, the people that, you know, we are close to, the people that do love us, talk about it and almost end up doing the same thing, you know, talking and speaking negatively about them, which is really doing the same thing that they're doing. Yeah. But I think the most important thing here is he's saying, I give myself to prayer. And that's what the Lord's wanting us to do, because when we get hurt, whenever we face these trials, these betrayals, these situations that are unjust and unfair, vengeance is his. And that's what I love about the Lord is we have... He's our secret place, but he's also our rock. He's our confidant. He's the one that we can confide in, and he's the most trustworthy. So when we give ourselves to prayer, we devote ourselves to prayer after these things happen, and all the time, he's going to listen. He's going to listen. We can vent to the Lord. We can vent to him, and he's going to not just tell us what we want to hear, but he's going to change us in his presence, and he's gonna help us to be healed from these things and be able to still move forward. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, we just act like nothing ever happened, because he said vengeance is his, you know, and we see, you know, throughout this psalm, actually, David is like asking the Lord to basically do things to these people, take action and take vengeance. Yeah. So, you know, it's not to say that we won't have that righteous anger, because we will, but it's like the Lord, he satisfies us, and he helps us to not dwell there. He helps us to move past it and to rest, knowing that we've laid those things down at his feet. We've laid all the accusations and the word curses and the lies and all those things that have hurt us so bad that have been spoken to us. We lay them at his feet, and he makes us new. He strips those things off of us and lets us walk light again without carrying all that. And I think it really helps us to be able to abstain from those other things I was talking about, of having the mindsets, talking about negatively about the ones. I think it helps us to just kind of move on and not be so bothered by things. And I just love that he said that. And he said, I mean, they fought me without a cause. So we know here that it was unjust. It wasn't, you know, that these things were right. Because sometimes the Lord will also show us, okay, this is true. Like, this is what somebody's doing to you, but you're also doing this. Like, the Lord will show us the things in our own heart, you know, the things that we're doing. But I just think the Lord was reminding me to run to him before running to people, which goes along with what we've been talking about with our tongue too. And that, prayer is a safe place. So not everywhere that we run to talk is a safe place. Even people we love, you know, people will let us down, no matter who it is, but Lord will never let us down. And then I just think that it backs up those other verses, Psalm 108, 11 through 13. Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go out, O God, with armies, with our armies. O grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. With God we shall do mighty things. It is him who tramples our foes.
Mm.
So vain is the salvation of man. Man can only do so much. Man can only, their salvation, them saving, they can only do so much, but the Lord is the one who defeats our enemies.
Mm.
Man might keep them at bay, might keep them quiet, might, you know, kind of keep them away for a little bit, but the Lord defeats our giants. He defeats our foes. So I just thought that really backed up the psalm right after that. So.
Yeah. Well, I want to piggyback off that a little bit because the Lord, I was just thinking of these different verses, but it goes back to Matthew 5, and he says, you have heard it, that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do not do to those who do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's hard. It's hard to do that. It really is. I mean, in your flesh, you want to be like, man, I just want them to pay so bad. But then again, you know, it goes on further and it talks about, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Mm-hmm. Do not even the tax collectors of us do the same? And if you greet your brother only, what do you do? What do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collector do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect. Perfect love is loving your enemies. That's hard to do. And it goes back in eye for an eye, you know, going back up before that, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other. If anyone wants to see you, take away your tunic, give him your cloak. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. You know, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. And I'm like, you know, this is the Lord telling us people who hate us, people who want to, you know, get rid of us. He's saying, perfect, this is perfect love. It's trying to be like the Father. We have to be. We have to strive for that. And it's like this. And the Lord said, I said, Lord, but what about, you know, shouldn't they pay? And he says, if thine enemy, it goes back to Romans 12, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. It's almost kind of like, I love them. Lord, help me to love them. Help me to pray for my enemies. Help me, you know, because you have to depend on Jesus. You can't do it within yourself. And we cannot sit there and try to love our enemies within our own flesh. We can't. Because your flesh wants vengeance. Your flesh wants to take it out. Your flesh wants to do this. You have to leave it in the Lord's hands. And like you said, using prayer as an avenue of just laying it at his feet, casting your cares upon him. Because some of us have been going around with a lot of cares on us a lot. And you ain't laid it before Jesus' feet. You need to start doing it. Cares doesn't always mean, you know, Lord, I got this need. No, it's a care like, Lord, I just don't know how to forgive that person.
Mm-hmm.
Or, Lord, I don't know how I can. They just get on my nerves. I'm tired of it. I said, when are we going to start showing mercy to people instead of judgment all the time? Even to the ones that's hurt us the worst. Even to our enemies. When are we going to pray mercy? Because when we look through the eyes of the Father, that's what we should be praying, mercy. Because it says you should be perfect if you're loving your enemies. You'll be perfect like my Father. Because when Jesus came and he was dying when he was getting nailed to the cross, he looked up in heaven and he said, forgive them for they know not what they do. And I'm like, why can't we do the same? If we're to be like Jesus, why can't we look at people who are hurting us and say, for they know not what they do? Why can't we do that? Why can't we get to that place where we love each other, even the ones that don't love us back? That's hard to do. Because that's all we to be like Jesus and to love those who despitefully use us. And we pray for them. We're so quick to judge. And if we pray for mercy, we're going to see the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit we've ever seen in this lifetime is when the church starts praying for mercy over judgment all the time. Let God have his way. Let God have his vengeance. Let God get back what he'll make them pay. Just, it's not up to you. It's his choice, not ours. And you know, and I think when we do that, we become like Jesus. And there's more power in it. There's more power in it. We talked about this, I think, last time. It's more power to reach out the hand to the one who's down in the dirt, and the even to the one who you would never want to lend a hand to. It's more powerful to say, brother, I forgive you and I love you. Come on, let's get this together. I mean, if right now, I know I'm going to use this analogy, it's probably better. If right now, if the Republicans and Democrats ever get to a place where they can hold hands and say, we're going to hold hands together because this country is in need of us coming into unity, even in our disagreements, because there's going to be power in that. It's going to shake the nation. So what better way if the church begins to say, okay, we're no more disagreements, no more trying to come against each other, no more fighting in the church. What if we grab hands together and say, I know we all have faults. We all have many things that we're not doing right, but let's hand in hand, let's do this and let's fight together, because there's only one enemy, truly. And that's Satan. And so that's just my two cents.
I think all of that is contingent upon us operating in humility, because a lot of times I think, whether we like to admit or not, self-righteousness seeps in.
Yeah.
And we think that we're deserving of God's grace because we got our act together, and they're not.
Yeah.
But we have to understand it's all by mercy. Like, I don't deserve any of this, and I'll never be good enough to deserve his grace and deserve his goodness and deserve it. And so, like, whenever the disciples were like, do we get to call down fire on them yet?
Yeah.
And Jesus turns and said, you don't know what spirit you're enough. Of. Like, they haven't got the revelation of his goodness yet and what he's actually trying to do, because he even told us, like, I didn't come in the world to condemn it. I'm not coming into the world to send people to hell. I came into the world to save it.
Amen.
Like, he says, basically, he says, I don't have to send them. The word that I say will send them.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's the word that will judge you. And that's what Jesus was saying in John, is that Jesus even said, I don't even have to judge them. The word will judge them.
Amen.
And so, like, but at the end of the day, our hope should be redemption, because he wills that all men come to repentance. Not some men, not this political party, not that political party, not those who are worthy of it. None of us are worthy of it. No. Like, none of us will ever be worthy enough to lift our hands and sing hallelujah.
It's true.
Like, we're just not. Like, he made us worthy. He made us holy. Hmm. No, none of us could ascend the hill of the Lord until he saved us and redeemed us and gave us the new heart and the new spirit. Like, I'm glad, like, that song that you all sing on Sunday mornings. I struggle with the song sometimes, and I like the song sometimes. I'm kind of bipolar with it on Sing Hallelujah. Like, not Sing Hallelujah. What's her name?
Natalie Grant.
Or no.
Naomi Rain.
Yeah.
Naomi.
Yeah. I don't know. There may be some internal struggle, because there's a couple of worship teams that are very popular that I still listen to some of their songs, but very few. Like, very few. And I pretty much isolated myself from those groups for personal conviction reasons and trajectory that I see them going on. But I like the song some days, but I do like, I almost wish she had like one last verse to just tear it apart a little bit. Like when she says, your goodness is not contingent upon me. You are worthy before I even open. Like, I understand all that too, but in a sense too, I don't want people to take it the wrong way and say, we don't have to worship and we don't have to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's me. I'm sorry. It's just the way my brain works. Like,
what are you talking about? Your goodness has been,
Your
goodness will be.
That is saying hallelujah.
Your goodness has never depended on
me. It's hallelujah something. I don't
hallelujah
know.
In the highest.
Hallelujah in the highest.
Yeah, that's not me singing. But I do like the song. Like, it, I mean, I do like the song and all that. But all that to say this, like, if I'll never be worthy enough to sing hallelujah, yet I still get to, because he's made me worthy enough. And that's the beauty of the gospel.
Yeah.
And your cry of mercy becomes very loud.
Yeah.
When you understand how much mercy was bestowed on you.
Amen. And that's where I'm excited to do this song, to Sunday, you know, we going back to the blood.
Mm-hmm. The blood. Oh, did y'all listen to it?
Oh, yeah.
Did you listen to it, Hannah?
Yeah.
Some of it.
It's so good.
It's good.
I didn't even know it existed. Have you heard it before?
No, never heard it.
I didn't hear it until I played it yesterday. I found it for...
The Blood is... Oh, man, it's just...
It was a good song. I didn't know they...
I forget that. I think sometimes we do forget how powerful the blood of God is. I mean, we the blood of Jesus, we have to remember that. We were all bought. So where is it in our... Why do we want to look and judge others? Why do we want to take that away when the blood is what covers us? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I said, don't touch it. Don't touch the blood. It's perfect. Don't even get close to it because it stands alone. What he did was perfect. And we need to start pleading the blood over some things
me,
in our life.
Do you want me to throw that in on this song?
Yeah.
You want me to do this on this break? I could do it.
I think that we forget that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why he told us to take communion. Do it as often as we can because it's reminding us
of the blood.
Of the blood and what his body that was broken. It reminds us and it keeps us in check. You know, hey, you didn't do nothing but just said yes to Jesus. And it's only by his blood that you're bought and paid for. So let's start acting like Jesus, not acting like ourselves. Because if you follow Jacob, I'll probably leave you in a ditch. You know, I mean, that's the truth.
Yeah.
And even Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If I don't follow, don't follow me if I don't follow Jesus. And I think that's what we have. We have a lot of people running after. This hit me the other day, and it was a sermon I preached a long time ago, and the blind leading the blind. I said, a lot of us are walking around with our eyes closed because this is who's leading us. We're being led by our eyes being closed instead of our eyes fixated on Jesus. And if we're being led by the blind, we'll only go into the ditch. We're going to hit something that's going to hurt us. But if you open your eyes and put your eyes on Jesus, he'll never leave you astray. You won't be like Peter, who took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens is we got to remind ourselves, we got to stir up what's in us, but keep focused on Jesus. And then when we can only, if we're only given Jesus, then people will it'll be awesome. So. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, let's read our second trivia question and we'll go to break, play our legal ID, then that song will be coming up. Plea the Blood, Chris Davenport and Brandon Lake together. Wednesday question number two, sponsored by Higdon Land Surveying. Who was appointed leader of the children of Israel at the death of Moses? Who was appointed leader of the children of Israel at the death of Moses? We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. It's still enough, my friend, to wash away every sin. I still thank him that literally a person can come into the house of the Lord one way on their way to a total different direction when they leave. Yeah. And it's all because of the blood.
I like there's one part. I don't know if you got to it because I know it's a little lengthier.
Well, this is like the radio version.
Okay.
There's another worship one that goes online.
Oh, man.
That goes a lot more worshipy.
I know they plead the blood over the schools. And I'm like, when's the last time we've really done that? Plead the blood over schools. Not just our own personal church. I'm talking about over the public school. Over all the schools. We plead the blood. And we plead the blood of our families. We plead the blood of our church over, you know, at the end of the day, let the blood cry out. That's what when you think about it, it should do something inside of you when you think about how that it's not just, people think blood, oh, it's just blood. No, this blood, it triumphs over time. It's perfect. It covers you. It gave you access to a place that we were never going to go. It gave you access to be with Jesus. It gave you access to be with God. It gave you access to everything that God wanted for you. He broke the barrier by his blood. He broke that between you and God. It like Aaron used to do an analogy of it. You come to Jesus with this, you're not going to be able to do anything because you're just filthy rags. But when you put on the blood and you apply it, all God can see is the blood of Jesus. He can't. He treats you just like they were talking about Barabbas. He had to treat Barabbas like Jesus for they could treat Jesus. He had to treat Jesus like Barabbas for they could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Even when we don't think people who deserve it, the blood is enough. Amen. So,
what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yeah, that song wrecked me yesterday when I found it and listened to it. I just, I said, Heather, can you learn this? She said, I'm sure I can. She said, you want it for this Sunday? I said, you can do it that fast? Like, go for it. Yeah. Like,
oh, we're pretty good at throwing new songs. I'm like, man, how many times I got to listen to this? But this one's not that.
Well, I've been so out of the music scene for so I forget, like, you know, somebody could give a song on a Sunday morning before service, and we could usually have it ready to go before service.
Yeah.
And then there's times we learn the song on the fly. Like,
true.
Let's go to key is D, and let's just take off. I mean, the chord progression's there, so we'll figure this out.
I think sometimes you just – I told him, I said, we just lean on the Spirit. And I told – me and Brandon's been – having people pray for us before, you know, because I just really, I don't want to go into, I don't want people to be moved by talent. Mm-hmm. I want them to be moved by the Spirit that's in there with me. And I don't want the drum beat to come from Jacob. I want it to come from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what Brandon, we both saying, you know, and then there's times when we know that, oh man, something's happening. You can feel it in your bones. It's like fire shut up in your bones. It's like something's moving, something's shaking, something, you know, you feel the worship. I look over at the worship team and everybody's got their hands lifted high and everybody's in the Spirit. And I said, this is what true worship is about. It's not about getting how perfect you're playing. It's about bringing the sound of heaven to earth.
Yeah.
And uplifting him, because that's what it's truly all about, is just uplifting Jesus. And he's enthroned by the praises of his people, and let him enter the room. And see what happens. See if you can really stand when he enters the room.
I think that's why it's so important. We've talked about this on here. Like, this is why you craft your week gift during the week. You work on it. You practice it. You, like, if you're playing the piano, you need to be practicing the piano. If you're playing the guitar, practice piano, guitar. Because when the Spirit starts to flow, you don't want to be trying to figure out, well, how do I do that? Your hands are just prepared to be used. That's the same thing with preaching. Like, you know, I'm not a notes preacher. So there is an extent that I work off of memory, and mostly I just rely on the Holy Spirit. But I do think our part in all of this is that we're giving him a barrel of water to use.
Yeah, true.
Like, and so that's kind of like where I – because I'm with you. I don't want gifting and talent to impress people, because I think it has to be by the Spirit that he's moving and empowering. But, like, if you get up there to – like these prophets – like, you look at Elijah and Elisha. We can say they just kind of went up there and opened their mouth, but they didn't.
Mm-mm.
They lived in this. Yeah. This was their whole life.
That's who they are.
They were crafting their ear to hear from the Lord. They were sharpening each other with Scripture. They were bouncing words off of each other constantly. And, like, this is why me and Heather for so long with worship teams over the years that we've done this, like, people were like, we come in here prepared. Yeah. Like, not because we just want the practice to go smoothly, because if you come in prepared, like, you're not freaking out, and you're actually making room for the Holy Spirit to move. Mm-hmm. Because you're not trying to figure out all this, and you just know it. Everybody hates me because I take away music stands. Musicians wouldn't even have chord progressions if I could get away with it. Heather wouldn't even be allowed an iPad. She won't let me do that. But I put the screens in the back. What else does people want? But Hannah says she can't see them.
Just close my eyes and I'm like, Lord, help me.
That's why she forgets the word sometimes. If you ever see Hannah slow to start a course, it's probably not because the Spirit's moving. It's because she's a, what's that first word?
That's not always true. People actually think that because I have forgotten the words, but that's not always true.
I'm just kidding.
Because the other day, like, the Spirit was just moving, and I could not get out anything else other than hallelujah. Like, the song I was singing, I'm telling you, I know it front to back. And Mariah was like, did you forget the words? And I'm like, no. I'm like, all I could sing was hallelujah, because hallelujah is the high, well, Hosanna highest. In the highest, but the highest praise.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think sometimes the Lord just wants us to chill a little bit from, like, thinking we have to get everything right and, like, go straight into something, and sometimes we can just lift him up. Like, so that day, now there have been times that I've, like, I'm even in the song. Like, I'm in the middle of it, and I forget something.
Just create.
But, yeah, but at least, like, it's better to, I've done it in the middle of sermons where I've lost where I'm at, and I'm like, oh, this is really bad. Because you can kind of mask it in a song. You can just lift your hands or shout or something like, oh, Spirit of, like, you know, like, people do that. Yeah. Don't lie. I know people's done that in worship. Like, they lift their hands because they really forgot where they at. And I've been playing the guitar before and forgot where I was at. So I just lift my hands and worship so I can figure out where I'm at.
It reminds me of those worship men blunders.
Oh my gosh.
There's one guy, he says, I don't even, he goes, Jesus. I said, you can't do
that's me singing regularly.
I don't think I'd ever do that because it's like, we should always have a song to sing to the Lord. You know, yeah. Like, even if I forget the words, I'm going to sing my own
start
words
speaking
to the Lord.
I mean, you know,
start interceding.
Like, I've seen preachers who I know who got lost, and then they're just like, "Oh, the Spirit just hit me."
I don't even try to hide it. I just like, okay, I got lost. Let me get my thought back.
Sometimes they're like, "Bless him, Lord."
You know, I need the blessing. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord.
I lost my place. Let them think there's something going on.
Yeah, but I do agree. I am wholeheartedly behind that premise, though, of that as worship teams, we are to be in the Spirit, leading people into the Spirit,
yeah,
by the Spirit. I do just think it's very important to craft the gift,
yes,
so that the Lord can use the practice that you've invested. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, it's kind of like, it's the beautiful thing is like, in basketball, I know this analogy is going to fall short at times, so bear with me. It's not a perfect analogy. Take basketball for a second. You're practicing. You're learning to shoot. You're learning to dribble. You're learning to do all this. And in practices, you're focusing on this. You're focusing on that. Now, when the game time gets, you should be so prepared, your coach can just call out things.
Yep.
And you're not even thinking about it. Now this is getting to psychology. In psychology, your brain works on two levels making decisions. You have level one and level two. Level two, one is where you're instinctively doing something. You don't have to imagine. Like, so, like, Jacob, you go home the same way every single night, right? Because there's only one way to get to your house. Do you have to think about which way to turn?
No.
That's level one. Now, if you're going to somebody's new house, you're thinking, you're seeing this, you're seeing that. You're level two.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? There's two different sides of your brain here. Level one is instinct. Level two is I'm constantly seeking. Yeah. And I think what's happening in when we, like, you're worshiping or something like this, you should almost go to level one. It's so natural that you're not having to process a thousand different things, and you can just focus your heart on the Lord. Because when you are, when you're not prepared and you're not practiced or you're not prepared for a sermon or something like that, you're constantly, what do I do? What do I do? And then you're actually preventing the Spirit from moving because you're not focused on Him. You're focused on your lack. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so I don't want people to practice and be prepared, whether you're preaching or anything like that, just so that you're perfect. Mm. Actually, I think it enables the Spirit to move through you a lot more effectively because you're in level one thinking, not level two. I hope that makes sense. I don't know if it does or not, but it falls short in some areas. But I think overall, like, I have found that in my preaching is that if I'm in level one to where I'm prepared, I'm not so worried. I'm actually being able to hear the Holy Spirit more. And when I'm in level two, trying to figure out, oh my gosh, I'm so not prepared this morning. Holy Spirit, you're just going to take over. And sometimes it's like we're expecting Him to be our bailout a little bit instead of just kissing what we've applied into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As well. I think there's a balance there. Denny Ramsey said Larry Bird was always ready.
Oh, yeah. Shoot 1,000 shots after every game. I mean,
I'll tell you, he was always ready, Jacob Swift. I've seen him play basketball before.
Don't even start.
He said, watch this. I'm going to take this to the hole. And he dribbles one time, and the ball comes up and smacks him in his face and knocks the glasses off. And I said, Jacob, that was profound.
Hey, back in the day, I could dribble, and then I gained 100 pounds, and then I just become the down low guy.
That's okay. I can't dribble at all. I just stand there and shoot. That's it.
But, no. I do think, though, that if we would worship by the Spirit more and be focused on being led by the Spirit and also being, like, sensitive to where the, and I think that's what crafting your gift, whether it be like playing piano, singing's a little bit more easy. I will say this, singing's more easier than music.
Yeah.
As far as practice, yes, because you can't, I mean, you can practice, but
I mean, you can practice your pitch and your harmony,
but there's only so much you can do to, now, spending time in worship, though, that's what helps, I think, with singing.
Sure, absolutely.
Like, getting that atmosphere set and getting the hearing from the Lord. And
that's what David did.
Because you have to use your mouth. With the instruments, you're not using your mouth. Yeah. So you really have to craft that instrument, because that's how the Lord's speaking through the keys or through the...
Yeah.
But with your mouth, like, you have to have your ear. You have to be able to hear and speak. So I think, like, prayer and, you know, like, spending time, like, worshiping the Lord, you know, all that. Just reading your word. But yeah, instruments.
I do
like,
all that, but I still can't sing. What am I missing?
Well, but you get it out through talking.
Oh.
So you're preaching. Thanks. Yeah. Everybody's gift is different.
Yeah.
Everybody.
But like Jacob, you're good at, you're a great drummer. You're a great drummer. And if the Holy Spirit takes you somewhere at this point, there's probably not many places you couldn't go.
Yeah.
All right. But if I put you on the piano.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little limited.
And you can play the piano, but there's places you couldn't go on the piano yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like, because that's not what you're playing.
That's not strong, yeah.
And so, like, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not about being perfect or being the best or we're trying to be rock stars. It's actually making ourselves available to the Holy Spirit to take us anywhere he wants us to go. And it's not about us at that point. It's just, like, if he wants me to go here, we can do the key change.
Yeah.
Like, we're prepared. We're And that does involve everybody singing and everything.
And I do think, like, even if maybe, say, the quality of the playing or singing, maybe we're not the best ever. Like, let's just say maybe there's a lot of room to grow. But when you know, like, when you've practiced and you know the song really well, or you just know what you're doing, like, you're prepared, you know you're not coming in at the wrong time. Because I think that's what throws in the inhibitor sometimes.
True.
Especially with singing, like, and I mean, playing too, if you just start playing something that you're not supposed to yet.
Yeah.
And there's flowing with it, but I think it's probably singing whenever things are just coming in, or like we're all coming in at different times or something, like, that probably could be an inhibitor.
Yeah.
To just not know it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember one time, the first time I ever played piano on a Sunday morning. And it's much different playing piano in front of 200 people than it is 20 people.
Yeah.
And so I was sitting there already kind of like, kind of nervous. I mean, first time ever on a Sunday morning playing. And Steven's playing drums and Roger's singing the first song. And we practiced it. We practiced hard because it was a song that I'm not used to playing. So I had to work pretty hard on it. And the rhythm was kind of different. I think it was a Lindell Cooley song, so it was kind of a different rhythm. And some reason Roger and Steven decided to speed up the tempo between practice and service. And so they were right in their head. Well, I started the song out regular like we were. Steven couldn't catch the beat. I couldn't catch Roger. Roger couldn't catch me. It was an absolute train wreck. And I can guarantee you, all three of us loved the Holy Spirit at that point. All three of us were trying to worship in the Holy Spirit, but it was a train wreck to the point that Brother Ron had to step up and say, I think we should probably start this song over. And now the song took off from there. But it's a perfect example. If we're not in unity with each other and we're not growing, we can say we're being led by the Spirit as much as we want, but if we're not prepared and we're not ready, then we can create inhibitors to even the Spirit of God flowing, because you couldn't worship during that moment. Like, the drums were playing something totally different than me, and none of us were doing wrong. It's that we weren't in unity, because does that make sense? I'm not going to hark on this no more. It's just, I do think it's important, and that's even going into what Jacob was saying earlier, of if we could come into the unity of the faith, if we can come together as one accord, one mind, what could happen in our nation if we learn to come together as one, even if we disagree on some issues, like, and that does not mean compromise.
Mm-mm.
Like, that does not mean compromise. What that means is, when did we stop being able to have a conversation with each other as civility and honor and respect? David disagreed with Saul a lot, but yet David always honored Saul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny that the only thing that soothed Saul is the playing of David. It was almost kind of like God was like saying, I'm going to put you two together, even if you don't even wannabe. Because it was something that was striking. And I do believe Saul knew that David was supposed to be the king. He just, it was that flesh that didn't want to let go.
Yeah.
So.
Well, probably one of the greatest inhibitors to unity is what we were talking about in James earlier, and that's our tongue. Think about how much we slander and gossip and we don't even want to admit it. Think how much we run our mouth about each other and talk about each other and say stuff and drag stuff in. And we usually precursor with, I don't really mean to be disrespectful, or God bless their heart, or what some of the things we said earlier, Hannah. We said this once this week, like, pray for them. Like, we was talking about prayer meetings or something like that. Well, you should really pray for this person, hear what they're doing. Like, you know, kind of that idea. Or like, I guess maybe we should go back to the old saying of, if you don't got nothing good to say, don't say it at all.
That's true.
And so, but I mean, like, what if, you remember that old song Casting Crowns did? What if my body prayed?
Yeah.
What was the song called?
What if his people prayed and turned from their own ways? Is that the one you're talking about?
What if we encouraged each other as much as we talk about each other? What if we prayed for each other as much as we gossiped? Or what if our prayer meetings were less talking about people and more talking to the Lord about people? Mm. And like, you know, it is, those are real things. And if we can start to control our tongue, what kind of unity is produced? Because Ephesians 4, the fivefold gifting is there till the body comes into the perfect unity of the faith, the perfect man. Mm. And that's even what the fivefold gifting is for, is produce wholeness in the body of Christ so that we come into perfect unity, because Ephesians over and over talks about we're knitted and joint together. Why are we knitted and joint together? In the Greek, that's basically saying this, we're like a puzzle piece that's being put together. Or I like to think of it as a container. Mm. And it's like this bowl that has been broken. Because there's this wall of hostility that was Ephesians talks about. There's this wall of division. That wall of hostility has been broken down. We're being knitted and joint together. And if we can allow him to put this bowl together, then we could become a habitation of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
But we will never have the habitation of the Spirit of God until we first come into the perfect unity of the faith. Because our bowls are always going to have crack in it. And the cracks are caused by slandering and gossiping and talking and backbiting. And they're not doing this good enough, and they should be doing this, and they should be doing this. I want to become a person, and I'm not that person. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sitting behind this mic lying to you and deceiving you, say, I am that person. Everybody knows I'm not that person. At most time, I'm probably the most unlikable person you know. But at the end of the day, like, I want to grow in grace, and I want my speech to be seasoned with salt, and I want to be somebody that when I speak, healing comes.
Yeah.
When I speak, encouragement comes. When I speak, victory comes. Not because of me, but because the Holy Spirit that I'm willing to walk in. And walking in the Spirit is not just speaking in tongues, having your eyes roll back in your head and flopping the floor like a fish.
Yeah.
That may be part of it. But at the end of the day, walking in the Spirit is walking in unity, in glory, in power, and encouraging, uplifting one another, building each other up, caring for their souls. You know, preferring one another over each other. I mean, it's just, to me, walking in the Spirit is such a big thing.
It's so easy, though, to, and I think this is what I think everyone struggles with. It's easy to sit there and go, man, I can't believe they did that against me, and get so mad at somebody. I can't believe they did it to me. And I said, if you look at that, you're starting to act like the flesh. I said, when Jesus, they did it to Jesus, he's like, Lord, forgive them. Like, okay, you're not being nailed to a cross or anything, you know. And I'm saying, people who are getting martyred everywhere, they're loving these people. And I know that's sad, but I think we get talked about and we're ready to crucify those people,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of laying our life down for those.
Yeah.
And it takes that one, the scripture, it says, doing to others as you would have others doing to you. Would you want somebody, if you messed up and said something, would you want somebody to do what you're doing in your mind to that person? I mean, we're already, seems like we're always quick to want judgment to fall on people so bad. And I'm not saying God, you know, if God wants to do it, that's him. But We need to be pleading the blood. We need to be pleading for mercy. Lord, have mercy on them, even to the worst of the worst. I know it take it, you have to you, what you really have to do, you have to dig deeper inside. You have to really dig through that, the walls of the flesh and all the pain, the hurt, somebody to your worst enemy. You have to really dig deeper to forgive those people and to ask. It's a level to forgive, but it's another level for God, for you to pray that God bless them. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. I've heard people, I can forgive them, but I can't forget for what they've done. I've heard people say that so many times. And I said, what if we go by the scripture and bless those? What if we bless those who curse you? Do good to those who hate you? I mean, this is what the Bible's telling us to do. It's the words in red.
It reminded me of the scripture in Micah. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
I mean, that's something that it's a rarity. I hate saying it, but it is a rarity to see people walking truthfully in this all the time. And like we said, we know we're not all perfect and we all stumble. But what if we strive to be like this? What if that's our heart, God, to be not just, I feel like sometimes people want to be like God for they can be the judger. You know what I'm saying? Like, like we got a bunch of mini gods who want power, authority. They want what Jesus, they want all the power and authority that Jesus has and all the blessings that he has.
But they don't want the crushing.
They don't want the crushing of what it is to truly be like Jesus and to lend the hand when no one else lends the hand. To be the heartbeat.
Because Jesus said, he said, he's a humble servant. He walked as a humble servant. And he talks about that, you know, I'll have to find the scripture, but basically the greatest among you is the least among you, the one who serves.
Yeah.
The one who lays down their life as a servant.
Yeah.
And that isn't, now, that is heavenly power from the Holy Spirit. There's power in that from the Holy Spirit to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But that's not power. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a place of high and lifted up. It's a place of low.
Yeah.
Keeping yourself low and humble.
True. Man. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back in or after the break to continue some discussion, maybe answer a Bible question or two. And we'll be right back here. Here's the song we were talking about, If We Are the Body by Casting Crowns. Amen. Hallelujah. If we are the body. Hallelujah. If we are the body. Well, we're in this last little segment. Got a question out there for everybody. It's a really important question. It's a very spiritual one.
Okay.
How do you grill chicken without getting the chicken to stick to the grill? I listened to another radio station talk about this the other day, but I disagree with their assessment because I've tried it before and theirs don't work. You know, like, no matter, unless you put the chicken in tinfoil, which I have done.
Yeah.
I have put it in chicken. And it turned out pretty good. It kept the moisture inside of it, but I like the sear marks. So
on,
like,
the chicken.
Yeah. So how do you sear the chicken? Because I found butter don't work. I've done the spray.
Hmm.
I'm curious. Somebody
coat
tell
it.
Me.
Fry it.
I'm gonna grill some chicken soon.
Bread it.
But it just makes me so sad when you pull the chicken and there's still chicken on the grill and then you look like a moron because you're trying to pick it off and eat it. You know, because you don't want to waste the chicken because chicken's expensive now.
What if you cooked it on the aluminum foil until it kind of got through the, you know,
and
meaty,
then sear it,
and then sear it.
Yeah, I guess you could. I think that's what I did when I did it.
Yeah,
it just took forever in the aluminum foil.
I think it's just because until it hardens that outside, it's that flesh that.
Would it be something to do with the seasoning of the grill?
Well, Gary says don't clean the grill. I can't not clean the grill. I got to clean the grill. I'm OCD about my grill.
Might be right.
I don't clean now. Like my griddle, on my griddle, I don't clean it. Like I just scrape it off and re-season it. But grill, I'm a little bit more. I don't know. Like,
I mean, it is.
Wait, are you talking about like your Blackstone?
No, my Blackstone. I don't. That's not. It don't cook the.
Oh, you're talking about like an actual grill.
I'm talking about actual grill.
Hmm.
The other people said that you have to cook at a very low temperature.
Probably.
And that won't stick it, but.
It still stick a little bit.
But if there's somebody new, I knew it'd be one of our listeners helping me out here. I got to clean my grill. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I just got to clean it.
maybe it just gives it a little more flavor if you don't clean it.
Yeah. Now I do
it's
have to
burnt.
I do have to clean the griddle if Heather cooks all those nasty vegetables on it, cuz I don't want that flavor
no,
on
that's
my,
good flavor.
My burger. But me and her got a new griddle. So cuz the other one, our old griddle got blew over by a storm, and when you turn it on, there's one burner that just fire. Like, it's not even a burner no more. It just shoots up fire. And so I don't want to blow up. We had to get rid of that one. But we got a new griddle, and so I'm getting ready to go through the whole new seasoning process and stuff on that. But I don't know. I don't know if at this point, I don't know if me and Heather could live without our griddle. It's too precious to us.
Hmm.
I'm hoping there's one in heaven for me in my mansion.
I have like a tabletop griddle, like, you know, a small griddle.
Uh-huh.
That it's not like the best. It's not the most expensive thing ever, but it has different parts to it. Like, you can put a grill top on it, like with the lines. Like, it
oh,
you
yeah.
can exchange it out. Like,
I know what you're talking about.
You can put the flat or the grill.
Yeah. So you cook on the griddle until it's time to put the sear marks on. Change it out.
Hey, do you oil
chicken?
Your grates.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The only thing about that is, like, you have to be careful not to get too much oil, because if you start to get your burner distributors, whatever they are, like
yeah.
where they actually distribute the heat, I found it will start to rust out quicker.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you get too much junk on that. So some people say oil's good. I don't know. I've just found, like, the more oil I use. Now, on the griddle, I light up. Like, when I'm cooking chicken on the griddle, it stays in olive oil. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I just
and
literally
it
coat
the
it with. I literally coat it in olive oil the whole time I'm cooking.
Yeah,
and I love my griddle. Like, if I had to pick, I'm picking the griddle over the grill any day of the week.
Yeah.
If I had to get rid of one, but for me, hot dogs are way better on the grill. I think hamburgers are way better on the grill, and steak is.
Yeah,
I'm not for sure chicken is.
Now, you know, my sister and them say that then they made it one time and it was awesome. They took a knife and cut into the chicken in the center. Put little slice marks down it, and it will keep it so moist. And it was, and they didn't have to put much oil on it. It just kept it moist for somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah. Well,
you know how many calories are in oil?
We don't care.
But
what kind of oil were we using? Virgin?
Even olive oil.
Yeah.
What about
like
coconut?
Any oil.
Any of them?
Like, it's crazy. It's like one tablespoon. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I'm using more than one tablespoon.
If there's a lot of calories in oil, Heather's piano in the sanctuary's got a lot of calories.
Oh yeah,
somebody's been oiling that thing up like a pig. Like,
it's like 100 and something calories in one tablespoon.
Yeah.
So by the time you're cooking with a lot of it, you're racking up.
Heather goes to play the piano on Sunday morning, her hands fall off piano.
it's.
But they say those are good calories though. It's supposed to be healthy fat.
It's called extra virgin olive oil. That's what we use. And so, but, yeah, I'm just curious.
What's the difference in
between
regular?
Virgin and extra virgin?
One's extra.
Okay, but what does it do to it? What?
I'm pretty sure Kaylee has called me extra before. I'm not for sure what that means, but.
You never heard that before?
I wonder who named it that. Did they get that from the Bible?
Well, I'm saying, like, what makes it different from regular olive oil and then virgin olive oil or extra virgin?
Probably the extract somehow. I don't know.
I'm going to look this up later. What actually makes it different?
Well, if there's anybody else left listening.
is there? Now, I've heard, like, coconut oil is really, it'll burn
it's
quicker.
Thick.
No, I think coconut,
thin.
Is coconut, you sure?
Yeah, because I remember.
It's thick
yeah.
in the thing, but
yeah,
I think once
you're right.
you
but it,
yeah.
the, it burns. It burns quick.
Yeah.
Like, it'll
yeah.
burn easy.
Yeah, like canola oil.
Vegetable oil.
Virgin oil.
That's what they say.
Those are really good. Peanut oil. Those are really good things for the high burn point.
Yeah.
That's what I use in my deep fryer when I do a turkey. It's peanut oil, but it's really expensive. I mean,
yes,
gosh,
yeah.
it's so expensive. And you really need to find, if you're going to do like a deep fried turkey, which I think is the best turkey, you really need to find a way to strain the oil when you pull it.
Yeah.
so that you can reuse the oil a couple times.
Yeah.
The one thing me and my wife want to buy that we don't have, and maybe I should get some tips from Josh if he's still listening, is a fish fryer. We really want a fish fryer, like a cart, like their Academy. They're not even that expensive, really.
I had one once, but they're good.
But it's like you can fit three cages on top of it, and it's not expensive at all. We're going to get one of these days for fish fries, and also you can do hush puppies, you can do French fries, you can do chicken strips, you can do it all on there.
Now we need a fish fry, man.
Come on now. Unlike regular olive oil, this is from Brandon, extra virgin olive oil is unrefined, not processed with chemicals or heat, and it has much less oleic acid than regular olive oil, meaning its fat hasn't been broken down. So it sounds really extra.
That's what I'm thinking, the extra, extra.
I'm agreeing with Greg Carwile. We're getting hungry at this point.
we're drinking water in here. We're hungry.
Not me. I've ate my Lucky Charms.
I'm thinking, man, when are we going to get bacon oil? Do you think?
They had that. You can buy bacon grease.
Did you really?
Yeah. And bacon grease is basically bacon oil, because once you heat it up, it goes down to oil.
I mean, I guess people used to cook with lard a lot.
Yeah, you can buy bacon grease at the store.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely can.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We need to cook with lard again.
Oh.
I don't even like the word. I'm going to stick to my
lard
extra virgin olive oil.
Lard leads to extra large.
Hey, them people lived longer back in the day. You know, they eat lard. Yeah. They're living 100 years old, and the people now are living like 60 because we're eating extra virgin.
Yeah. But, you know, like, I love when I eat at home. It's just always convenient to eat out. So it's like,
I know.
I'm so sick of virgin, like, not virgin. I was thinking of virgin oil. I was going to say extra virgin oil. I'm so sick of, I'm still thinking about, somebody texted me and said something about virgin oil. They said something about virgin oil.
He's got to get that regular. He's sick of the virgin oil. Yeah.
All right. But like, I'll be honest with you. Like, at this point, I eat fast food, and it's not even fulfilling. It disgusts me. There's only one fast food restaurant that I still like to eat that I actually leave feeling full.
Dairy Queen?
Well, it's not Dairy Queen. It's Litchfield's Dairy Queen.
Like, yes, they have the best Dairy Queen in
like,
the world.
I don't know why. Like, and this is not a sponsorship. I'm not telling you to go there.
Well, I did work there, so I can confirm or...
But it's like the only... It's like, it just, I don't know, like, I'm just so sick of fast food restaurants.
I will say, they actually, it's more, the way that they operate and run, and the way the management is, like, they actually cook things. Like, and they buy real food to cook,
too. I was going to say, I've never had bad food there.
Yeah.
They actually cook it, like, they're not just warming up everything, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean,
they
have
like a, you know, like a griddle.
Let's just say whenever
there.
You go to another Dairy Queen, another place, it's always disappointing. It's just not the same.
So can we just say this for a long, when people who are in charge really care, things get done excellent.
Yeah. Nicole Taylor says, Brandon is telling the truth this morning. Our chicken don't stick and Andy uses extra virgin olive oil.
So, there you go.
So that's the secret. Extra.
See if you can find triple extra virgin olive oil.
I'm telling you what, I'm going to go extra on this, and my fit is going to be off the chain.
What is that? I'm lost.
I'm looking for any hip word that I could say here.
I think off the chain might be a little dated, but
that's a dated one.
Let me think of one. I'll think of one.
The cooking master has chimed in, Josh Newton.
Uh-oh.
You know, even when he snuck those onions and peppers and all that stuff into the barbecue that one time and I ate it not knowing what I was eating, it was good. But now that I know it's in there. And then that one time we were at the fish fry at his house and nobody told me there was different levels of fish. There was a mild,
a
hot, and a hotter. And I'm just sitting there and going, man, this is hot. And it's getting hotter. And they said, oh, you got the hot fish. I'm like, I didn't even know there was hot fish. But, man, those hush puppies. There's nothing like his hush puppies. I don't know what he does there, but he says cook it in oil in a cast iron skillet on the grill, then over the open flame, couple minutes each side. Okay, so I put the cast iron on the grill. So could I put it could I cook it on my griddle, and then move it over to the grill for the last couple minutes?
Yeah, probably. And give you the grill mark. All I know is, we got some pretty good cooks around here, especially when it comes to grilling.
I am so people's like making a grocery list at this moment, figuring out I'm going to get chicken and I'm going to go and get extra virgin olive oil, and they're just making lists right now, trying to figure this out. But
We're doing excellent cooking before the Lord. That's what.
Yeah.
Every living creature of God is good.
But you know one thing I told Heather I'm going to make, and Eliza wants to do it too. So maybe it'll have to be a night that Hannah and Ethan's over, and I'll make enough for all of us. I'm going to do the fajita pineapple from the Mexican restaurants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where you do, it's there's shrimp, steak, and chicken, and it's all mixed in.
You're going to eat that?
I'm not. I'm going to eat the meat.
You don't want to eat the pineapple?
No.
That's good.
You eat the shrimp?
But you mix all that together, and you put some onions and peppers or whatever in there, and then you cut open a pineapple.
Uh-huh.
And then and you dig it out, and then you just put it all in the pineapple.
Yeah, I love that.
That's cool.
And so we'll do it one night.
Now
you eat shrimp?
I don't eat shrimp, but y'all can have all the shrimp you want.
Hey, Kirstie, the other night, I think they made chili or something. I love chili, but I have to. I just have moments where I just don't really want it. And we had gotten some vegetables from the garden out here. And German had given us potatoes and zucchini and some squash. Went home, fried them up, put some seasoning on them, and she made some rice. And I just put the vegetables on the rice and put some Asian zing sauce. Didn't have no meat. And I'm usually this guy's like, I got to have meat. I didn't have no meat, and it was awesome. Like a vegetarian meal.
I'm telling you, it's something about that Asian sauce with the zucchini.
The Asian zing, man.
Zucchini and stuff. Or even like teriyaki, soy, like those kind of things. So good.
We got to get back to chicken steak.
He said, "I can't.
Y'all
do the
keep
vegetables.
Your vegetables, zucchini."
Oh, I thought he said Jesus, but no. He says steak.
I'm not gonna eat.
Hey,
something.
Jesus liked to eat too.
I'm not gonna eat something I can't spell. All right, now. All right, well, we got.
What will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb? You know, I'm thinking, what are we gonna eat there?
Bacon.
Nah, I don't know about that. Maybe we'll probably eat stuff we've never seen before.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Like, I'm telling you, I am so hungry right now. I am so. I'm hungry.
I fried up some zucchini and squash too.
I love zucchini. Put some potatoes in though.
Well, I did.
Oh, did you?
Oh my goodness.
Man, we mixed the potatoes, the squash
together.
And then I have ultimate garlic seasoning that I bought from Sam's, and it is amazing. And then I have to use Dano's, and I put it all on her. It's, oh my goodness.
All right. Bible question for the morning. Let's see. Did Jesus feed the 5,000 more than one time, or is it two different versions of the same story? There is two different versions of the story found. There's one time it was 5,000, another time it was 4,000. Some people believe it's the same story. Some people believe it's not. I actually believe there was two different times he did it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I believe one time was 4,000, one time was 5,000. Now, we also know this. That wasn't the number. That was a number of men.
Yeah.
More accurately, probably, they suspect anywhere from 15 to 20,000 people in both. And I always, everybody knows me, I preach this as the Lunchable. With the Lunchable, God fed 20,000 people. And so, because this little boy just brought us Zach lunch with him.
Yeah.
I mean, now, here's the crazy thing is, this could preach. I didn't even know this was going to happen. What a segue. This is exactly what I was talking about earlier. All these people just started to follow with no preparation. And only one little boy came prepared. And because one little boy came prepared, God was able to use his preparation to feed 20,000 people.
Mm.
And so I think that's where it's so important for us to prepare ourselves and be consecrated and set ourselves apart and get into the word, get into the prayer closet, get into all that. Because one boy brought a sack lunch. Why did the 19,990 other people didn't?
Mm.
And so...
that's awesome.
That's true.
And so one little boy's preparation, one little boy's just bringing the lunch.
Or his parents. I wonder if it was his parents.
Maybe. Now, Johnny, don't you forget your Zach lunch. What a story. What a story. Now, Eliza, don't you forget your Zach lunch. You may feed the whole school by the time this day's over. But, you know, it's like.
Oh, my gosh. So I have to say this.
It's Eliza.
No, it's not Eliza. Okay. It's Audrey Newton. We were talking about this story. Actually, we might have been talking about a different story, but then we went into this story. And we were talking about sharing and, you know, like helping people and giving what we have to ones who don't have. And we talked about, like, so for example, like if you were at school and you brought your lunch but the person beside you didn't have any and nobody was offering them anything, like something we were talking about something about sharing your lunch, and then Audrey said, Well, that's their own fault for not packing their lunch, and I'm not sharing mine with them. She said, why would their parents not have them? And I'm like, well, I'm talking about some people who might not have any, like, much at home. And then she was starting to get it, but she's like, if they didn't pack it, that's their own fault. I'm not sharing mine.
That's what the little boy could have said. Ain't my problem, Jesus.
Yeah, like, try to steal Aaron's bacon sandwich.
Oh, you don't mess with it. I don't share my food either.
But then I figured out, I think that people have tried to, like, you know how kids are in the
world. Oh, I know our kids.
They try to, like, take people's food. Yeah. And I think I found out later that it wasn't just that she didn't want to share, but she was, like, still getting through some hard feelings of people trying to take her snacks. So.
Probably Eliza. I guess that's my problem. You come to my house. Everybody keeps making, they make fun of me because they come to my house and I make them eat stuff all the time.
I'm like hey, broccoli.
No, I mean, I'll be like, you want to try this? Hey, I just bought these. Try these. Last night I was giving Jeremy and Amanda, they came over after he got off work and I got these different kind of pumpkin seeds. I can't remember the exact name of them, but somebody who wants me to, they're supposed to be like antioxidant, it's supposed to get rid of parasites and stuff, but it's some kind of pumpkin seed. They were really good. And I was like, hey, try this.
He always used to try to get me dry food, and I just said no.
No. If I had bacon, he would.
Oh, I definitely would have.
Now, I had a cookout one time. I don't know if Aaron wasn't there at this time, and I made bacon. I had 3 or 4 pounds of bacon that I'd cooked on the skillet.
Wow.
And I'd made hamburgers and hot dogs. And
oh, like to make bacon burgers?
I'm going to run out. And then all of a sudden I go in, and there's plenty of hot dogs, plenty of burgers, and bacon's gone. I'm like, what y'all do, just eat bacon? I was just make bacon sandwiches instead of hamburgers and hot dogs.
Probably was me.
No, I mean, my mom said that was the best bacon I ever ate. And I had bought this Black Label thick bacon from Sam's, and it was good. It was
now,
thick.
One time Jacob was grilling out on a charcoal grill, and we were playing games, and we all forgot about the burgers on the grill. And when we go out there, there's like no burger left.
Yeah, it was the size of about a nickel. They had burned up. I'm like, man, there were some fatty burgers because there was nothing left but like a nickel of them.
We tried one just to see what it was like, and it was like chip your tooth.
It was horrible. I've had some grilling. We've had some grilling stories. It's crazy.
I almost caught the house on fire one time. It was pretty bad.
Jeremy Hall one time had he was trying to light the grill, and he just kept pouring. It was back when he was using lighter fluid.
Now, are you sure it wasn't me? Because I cinched my whole armature.
You did that one time, but yeah. Everybody does it for some reason in my house. I don't know. Yeah. But I said, Jeremy, I think you put enough. Oh, no. Shh. And he goes to light the thing. And the thing goes whoosh, all the way up his arms.
Yeah.
And just burn all the hairs on his arm.
Yeah, that happened to me too.
It happened to him, yeah.
I had no hair left on my right arm for about
a
week or two.
We used too much lighter fluid.
Yeah.
Wow. That's why we buy match light.
Yeah. It's worth the price to keep your arm.
Wow. We've learned a lot this morning.
Yeah. I'm going to have to figure out what I'm going to grill out this weekend.
We learned about the feeding the 4,000, the 5,000, extra virgin olive oil, extra, extra.
I don't know how we got away from the other segment. Taming the tongue. Taming the tongue, the blood of Jesus. Oh, man, we've
blood of Jesus. The vengeance is the Lord's.
Yeah.
Loving our enemies.
Don't mess with mine and Jacob's lunch because you might lose a finger.
I'm not like that, though. I'm like, man, you can have it.
So would an example of loving your enemy be giving away your favorite food?
Loving your enemy.
That somebody just made you to your enemy.
Like making this perfect bacon sandwich
and
giving
it to Aaron. It's like Audrey giving away her lunch to her enemy at school, her favorite lunch.
It would have to be a burning bush for me to give away a bacon sandwich.
If it had tomato or lettuce on it,
yeah,
you could probably give it away.
Yeah, I'll give it to my enemy at that point.
Do you put cheese on yours? Because I do. Everybody
absolutely.
BLT?
Yes.
I've never done
that. I just do the B.
BC.
BC.
Before Christ.
Oh, gosh. We don't have time. I can't even go to another question. We don't even have time for another question this morning. We only got 2 minutes.
Do you have another question?
I have another one, but we won't be
Greg
able to.
Greg will get it tomorrow.
We'll let Greg answer it tomorrow. I am so hungry at this point.
I don't think we've ever talked about food this much when Jason's not here.
Yeah, usually it's Jason that gets us started.
Or Roger.
Because that one time we had the segment that Jason said, hypothetically, if a person bought a Reese's for their spouse, and then said person ate Reese's before they got home to give it to their spouse. Should that person repent and ask for a for what? For forgiveness.
Yeah.
I think the person just goes buy more Reese's.
Well, I remember the story. He says, which one has more peanut butter in it, the heart or the
don't
the
get
egg,
don't
or,
get Greg started. He knows the textural consistency.
He knows the ratio.
I'm pretty sure he's got scales out. The scales of justice, and he's putting the egg over here, and he's putting the heart over here.
I'm the peanut butter lover, Reese's. If it's all peanut butter, I want it all peanut butter.
You all were talking about not cooking those burgers, right? And it reminded me, I went to somebody's house, and I won't say who it is, but a husband and a wife, the wife made everything else for this party, and the husband was in charge of one thing, making the brownies. The brownies come out, and they're as hard as a rock, you can't even bite.
Oh my goodness.
That wasn't me, because I never make the brownies.
No, it wasn't you, but it was so funny. It was like, you couldn't even eat them. They were so rock hard.
Man.
I've ate brownies. Well, actually, my mom brought brownies to... I can't remember. It may have been Easter dinner. Resurrection Sunday dinner.
Nice save.
Brought brownies. And, they were the most disgusting thing I've ever ate in my life.
I hope she's not listening.
No, she knew it. And we wasn't trying to be mean. I don't know what happened. My mom actually makes good brownies.
Yeah.
And so, you're getting there, yes. Because she makes them a little crunchy on the side, so when you get that corner piece, it's so good.
So you leave out an ingredient?
It tastes like dish soap. It tastes like you was eating Dawn's dish detergent in your brownies. And it was such a disappointment. You bit into it, and you were thinking, oh, this is going to be so delicious.
And it was like, ugh.
And it was like,
my mom did that once. She makes really good food, and she's like, I'm going to make chili, but I have no chili seasoning. And we're like, we'll try it. And we all put it, we took a bite of it and just like.
Yeah. Something almost resurrected that day.
No.
And so it was.
One last question about food, and then we can get spiritual for the last minute.
We don't have time to be spiritual.
No. Well, we can say our goodbyes spiritually.
All right.
Gooey brownies or cakey brownies?
Cakey. Every day.
Like a fudgy brownie or a cake?
I like fudgy.
Cake.
Fudgy.
Cake. Cake.
I'm not a cake man.
You all also like zucchini fried. So,
oh man,
all right.
I'm going home to make some. Man,
I think Aaron would like a fried squash or fried zucchini.
Oh, he'd have to close his
eyes. With the breading and everything on it.
He wouldn't.
I don't know.
I think he could do it, especially squash.
He can't look at it
because squash doesn't really have a taste.
It's in my head.
It's probably the texture.
All right.
All right.
Well.
Yeah.
Spiritually.
It's been a good morning.
10 seconds.
We love you, everybody, and pray for the mercies of God over, plead the blood over your life, over your kids and family.
Yep. Amen.
If you got kiddos tonight at Kingdom First in Caneyville, Kentucky, their VBS is still going on, Twists and Turns. They're doing a phenomenal job over there. My kids went Monday night. Didn't go to last night, but they're going to go tonight, I do believe. And so you can take your kids out for that. We do love you guys. Go home. Extra virgin olive oil is the key to make your chicken not stick. Control your tongue. Be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to wrath. Pray for mercy for those who persecute you, and believe God to do radical things in all of our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Love you guys. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.